First of all, today's shiur is sponsored in the memory of Menachem ben Hachaver Chaim. So Hachaver is something which is all but forgotten. It says Yurtzeit et Chet Tishrei. I mean, the 98% chance then is that this person is from some kind of a quote-unquote Yeki family, where being a Chaver is actually a title which is given at some point to people. It's not, it doesn't happen by itself. In the times of the Mishnah Gemara, Chaver was somebody who you can trust in terms of various laws of Tum and Tara and things like that. That person would be considered to be a Chaver, somebody who's trustworthy. So the Yekis, and then to a certain extent in England by some places, they turn this title, they brought it back. So those who have it are very proud of it and they use it. So that's one. Secondly, the shiur is sponsored again by Gabor Zurb, this time in memory of his mother, Miriam Bat Avram. Her yahrzeit is Erev Yom Kippur. So the words that we learn should be an Eloi Neshama for both of them. So let's begin. So this week is Parshat Hazinu. First of all, what we should note is that Hazinu is physically written in the Torah as a shira, which means the Torah is, we think of it most of the time in terms of a binary of two different possibilities. One is narrative and the other one is law. But aside from narrative and law, there's also something else, which actually is a halacha. And the halacha is how the Torah is written. And that is shira. So you have various things which are written in different kinds of columns on the page. Az Yashir would probably be the most famous one. So over here again, Hazinu is a shira. It is, and for a lack of a better term, the English is not really good, but one can call it poetry. But I don't know if poetry is the right thing. It is something else. So I'm not going to go through everything that Moshe says in this parsha because lack of any other reason, we don't have time. It begins Hazinu Shamayim Vadabra Vitishma Haaretim Refi, which is going to be the kind of a dichotomy between listen to heaven and earth should be a witness, and so on and so forth. And we skip Pasuk Bed, and Pasuk Gimel writes Ki Shem Hashem Ekra Havu Godol Elokeinu. So right away we should note that the Shem Hashem, Ki Shem Hashem, it's very interesting, Ki Shem Hashem. You know, in English, or almost English, probably heavily influenced by Yiddish, we call God Hashem. Hashem is the name. Why? Because the name is ineffable. And what does ineffable mean? Ineffable means a name that you can't say. Because we can't even say Hashem's name to the extent that even Yudke Vavke, we don't pronounce it properly because there needs to be even more distance between us and the name. Kishem Hashem, I'm going to call that with Hashem's name. So especially here as we sit, and that's why you're here, because it's Eretz Yemei Tshuva, getting right before Yom Kippur. So in this mindset, so the Shem Hashem is Yud Kei Vav Kei, is Midat HaRachamim, is God using or utilizing or sharing or showing or being revealed through the aspect of compassion. Havugol Dule Elokeinu, but nonetheless Elokeinu is used immediately afterwards, and that is this other side of revealed divine behavior, which we will sometimes call Midat Hadin. So therefore, right over here you have this interesting dichotomy. Kishem Hashem Ekra is really an important verse, because again, if the name is ineffable, I'm not allowed to use the name. If I'm not allowed to use the name, so then why am I calling out the name? Kishem Hashem Ekra. No, I am going to use the name. I am going to call out the name. So what this means in terms of halacha, what this means in terms of Jewish practice, is something which is discussed, which means we're not going there today. We're not going to go into the Gemara. We're not going to go into the Halacha. We're not going to the Shulchan Aruch, which, what do you do with this verse? But there is nonetheless, you know, Moshe over here is giving this speech, Kishem Hashem Ekra, I'm calling out of the name of God, which right away creates, for lack of any other term right now, I would say God consciousness, but it's much more sophisticated than just God is on my mind. It's calling out, which is using God, approaching God, having this much more of an intimate relationship with God. And I think that that's really the important issue, is the intimacy. Let's continue. Hatzur tamim pa'alo. I just want to pause right then. Hatzur, so what is the tzur? So I've seen translations say Tzur Yisrael, the rock of Israel. So the rock of Israel is not merely enough, because at that, Hatzur is referring to God. which we just now had Hashem, and we just now had Elokeinu, Hatzur, Tamim Paolo. So let's just make believe it says God, even though it doesn't. Hatzur, Tamim Paolo. All of God's actions are perfect. Tamim Paolo. They're perfect, they're complete. Hatzur, Tamim Paolo. Ki kol drachav mishpat. All of his paths are justice. Kel emunah ve'in avil. God is trustworthy, and I'm being very, very imprecise here. Ve'ein avil, and there is nothing over here about the way that God behaves, which is unjust. Tzadik v'yasharhu. God is absolutely, tzadik over here, I know that we have this temptation of using tzadik in a Baal Shem Tovian way, but tzadik most likely means innocent, which means that there is no guilt in the way that God is using justice, which means that God, over here, the judge is completely just. The judge is completely just, and therefore, if the judge is completely just, then by definition, all of the justice which is meted out is completely fair. And that's why, again, Hatzur tamim pa'alo ki kol drachav mishpat, kel emunah ve'ein avel, tzadik v'yasharhu. And then on top of everything else, you have this v'yashar, and things are right. Which means, what we have over here, just to put it in a different, far more depressing context, because the only thing that you can get more depressing than the Sarah Yimei Tshuva, which shouldn't be depressing, it should be something which is very, very redemptive about it. But what we have over here is what we can call tzidduk hadin. Tzidduk hadin means that somebody is accepting upon themselves the judgment. And accepting ourselves of judgment, tzidduk hadin, is something which we far more associate with death or before death, where a person is going to accept that God's judgment is fair, or for that matter, our response to death, which is very often Baruch Dayan HaEmet, which means, yeah, no, God is a true judge. You know, where all of this comes from, you just have to be reading these words that are coming out over here, and that, in a sense, is what Moshe is doing, which makes it such an interesting Shira, because normally you would have thought, because I want to go back to the Az Yashir, you would have thought that the Shira is a kind of a Hallel, which is really fair. It's very fair. And it's something we break out in song, especially if you get a little bit more dramatic, our lives were in danger and suddenly we're saved, we have this salvation, physically we're saved, and then we turn out and we break out in song or break out in dance, so you can pull out your tambourines and you can be dancing on the seashore, which all of that works wonderfully with the Az Yashir. But over here we have a Shira which Moshe is leading and giving, and maybe, again, I don't know what to say. Maybe on the one hand, as Moshe is saying, that there is this ecstasy, there is this intimacy, there is this complete feeling connected to God. But on the other hand, as we're reading the content over here, this is overwhelmingly frightening, because the content of what's being said over here is that in a certain sense, Moshe is accepting and embracing the next step. And the next step is, okay, who are you talking about now, Moshe or the people? Talking about the people really is exciting, because they're about to cross over and go into a new land, and there's a new future, and very exciting. On the other hand, they're leaving somebody very significant behind, and he's about to face his death. So over here you have Moshe, and again, the exact proximity to his death, it's very close. And again, what day is it? Is it the same day? I don't know. There's all kinds of discussions exactly working out the timing generally in the book of Devarim over here, but we do know one thing. We're towards the end, and Moshe is talking about the end, and that Moshe is saying, I'm going to call out on God, and that, again, there's this intimacy over there, but he's accepting upon himself this judgment. And then on top of all of that, we have this other problem which should be gnawing at you, but it's not yet, but it will be very soon. And that is, why in the world, of all the terms, of all the formulations, of all the things, all the attributions, or things that he could have said about God, that he could have described God, why did he use the word Hatzur in this particular context? And just to strengthen that point without, as I said, working so hard, but if you were to go down, just let your eyes go down on this a little bit further, Pasuk Tetvav. It describes how, well, sorry, first Pasuk Yud Gimel, Yarkiveyu alba mati aret v'yachal tenvot sadai, v'yinikeyu dvash misel v'shemen michalamish tzur. So you know the word tzur is used again. And again, over here in context with chalamish, Pasuk Tetvav now talks about how Am Yisrael has gone off, which is really interesting, because God is tzadik v'yasharhu, v'yishman yishurun. So this is all kehila yishurun. Where do they all come from? KJ. Where do they all come from? It comes from this term. and Yeshurun, which could be, again, it refers to Am Yisrael. Yisrael may be connected to Yeshurun, but Vayishman Yeshurun means, and Yeshurun put on some weight. Now, this, I mean, the holiday season, maybe this resonates with lots of people, but that's not what it's referring to. Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivat Shamanta Avita Kasita, which means you got heavy and now you've gotten lazy and now you've kicked away the things which are important. Vayitosh Eloka, and you've abandoned God. So, Vayinabel Tsur Yeshuato, and again, the word Tsur is used again over here. By the way, already you have in Pasuk Yud Gimel, in Pasuk Tetvav, again before in Pasuk Dalet. This is the largest concentration of Tzur. You need to go a little bit further. You'll find one again in Pasuk Lamed Zayin, which says, V'amar e Elohimo Tzur Chasyav Bo. So, yes, we have a... The word Tzur is not used that many times in Chumash. This is it. This is the largest concentration, which then, when I said before, the problem didn't really bother you, so I hope it bothers you a little bit more now, because now you realize that this is actually a theme in terms of this entire section. It wasn't just this like one-off that Moshe happened to refer to God in that way. We have over here a cluster of the use of the word Tzur. And by the way, whether it always refers to God or not is even more interesting, because not necessarily, but then you have to go to this other direction. So why is this a term for God? So to say God, and to translate the rock of Israel, again, there is something which is very, very calming about this, very nurturing about that. You know, as much as one could imagine a proverbial spiritual hug from a mother, which is not... This is a hug from a father who's standing strong behind you. It's God as a rock. You know, even to use that term today, you are my rock. Okay, I'm not going to bother to go to Simon and Garfunkel, right? I'm a rock. I'm an island, and a rock never cries. But over here, it's stability. It's correct. So there's something really strong about that. And it's fascinating that Moshe will be beginning this whole talk with articulating, again, that next step, and that next step is death, and the step is death by talking about God as being fair and just and so on, which means there's no wavering. This is a complete...
He has no choice.
Better than that. It's not just that you have no choice. It's much more than that. It's more than that. It's Moshe. It's not just that Moshe is doing it for the cameras. This is so authentic, what Moshe is doing over here. And as I said, we have to suspect that there's an ecstasy in this. There's a singing type of aspect to this. There's this embracing what that next step is. And there is, again, that one more step, this Tziduk HaDin. Now, again, Tziduk HaDin is very difficult. I can imagine somebody at the, you know, end of their life. Obviously, it's easier if somebody is at peace. It's easier if a person feels completely... completely well adjusted, and especially if they've lived a long life, especially if they feel they've accomplished what they needed to accomplish, and then to accept Tziduk HaDin, accept, you know, that next step. Moshe's doing it over here. So I could say that Moshe's done almost everything that he was supposed to do. There's one more step that he doesn't do and that he's going to have to delegate. That Moshe has done so much, but this embracing that next step, again, is something which is really... really interesting. The Midrash, and this is source number two, this is the Midrash Halacha, it says some of the things which we expected and some things which we didn't necessarily expect. So let's start. Hatsur tamim pa'olo. Hatsur, not what you thought. Hatsayar, shetzi'er et olam mitchila. That God is the artist who's made a masterpiece. And God is the one who painted all of this. What an interesting metaphor to be using as God's work of creation. Again, Yitzira is creating something from something, and God takes all of this primordial stuff that he has to work with, and then, you know, he throws it on the canvas, and God creates the masterpiece. But which, by the way, calling all of this a masterpiece is again going to be a type of a Tziduk HaDin, by saying that everything that God did is done with, which is thoughtful and creative and purposeful. You don't just throw the paint on. It doesn't always work that way. Hatsur tamim polo, hatsur tsayar shetzier tolam mitchila, v'ushivet ha'adam bitocho. The last source, you don't have to look at it, goes back, it's a Gemara that knows this as well. I once learned this long piece from Rav Huttner about it. I looked it up. I was going to quote some. I said, don't go there. You can't behave. I see you can't behave. I just said it happens to be at the end. There's a long piece by Rav Huttner, which is 98% in Yiddish. So I looked at it again yesterday, and if anybody wants it, it talks about Shabbos. It's Shabbat as a masterpiece, and Shabbat is part of God's, because it goes back to the idea of creation, and God created, but seeing it as a tziur, as a painting, as much as we refer to anything else. If anybody feels at home with the Yiddish, just ask me, and I'll send you a copy of the essay. So, Atzur tamim palo, atzur tzayar, shetziyer et ha'olam bitchila, voshivet adam bitocho. And then there, man becomes that center player within this masterpiece. V'yitzar Hashem l'kevet et ha'adam. Tzadik v'yashar hu, shehu noheg b'yashrut. Again, yashar, tzadik v'yashar. B'yashrut, the word yashrut means straight, but what does it mean? It means honesty, in this sense. Im kol b'yolam, that God is a fair judge. Davar acher, another interpretation, hatzur hadayan. That again, going into context over here, why is that name of God used? It's that refers to judgment. Ve'ein avil bishat betirato shel adam min olam, when a person is about to depart from the world, ma'asav nifratin lefanav, all of a person's actions come and approach the person. Ve'ein omrim lo kach v'kach, and they say to him, so on and so forth. Asita biyom ploni, kach v'kach asita b'makom ploni. Ein atamode al advarim halalu v'omer lahem hein hein. V'hein omum lo tul v'chatum v'notel v'chotem. That all of a person's actions come to a person and says, on this and this date and this place, you did this and you did this. A person has no choice but to admit it. He's standing in court. And then the actions turn and say, sign off on this, admit what you've done. Every person has to admit. And therefore, it's saying is that a person stands in front of God. This will be part of the interpretation. In front of who, which chillingly we say, Kavi Ben Allah, we say it by funerals. No, in front of whom you can have to give a judgment and accounting. Din v'cheshbon. So over here it's saying that a person has to judge themselves, where their actions come and testify against an individual, and then you have to sign off. Me atat onten et adin. You're the one who's going to do the judgment, in a sense, because you at that point have absolutely no choice. Yes, I'm reading into this a little bit, but quite frightening. Shinemar biyad kol adam yechtom tzadik v'yashar hu kishahu matzdik alav et adin v'chein hu omer yafa din danti. And a person then says, yes, I have been judged fairly. Which means what this midrash is getting at, all of this, is God is judge, and the judgment is fair, and a person accepts it, and a person knows it, and a person signs off on it. And again, this, what I read before, looking into it a little bit, you see the midrash saying all of this really in very clear terms. Rashi, who, and I always get these suspicions, Rashi may also, yes, before, am I giving a Shabbat Shuva drasha? So the answer is yes. So I think Rashi also had his in mind when he over here, Kishem Hashem Hekra, source 3, Hare ki mishamesh v'lashon ka'asher, kumo ki tavo l'aretz, kishekra v'eskir shem Hashem, otam avu gadol akenu v'chul shmo, mikan omru sha'onim baruch shem kavod malchuto achar bracha shebim mikdash. So on Yom Kippur, we do this in our liturgy as well. We answer that it says, this is like the main part of the avoda, and then the Kohen says, Shem Hashem Agodim Aforish Yotzei, right? You go to all the Am Karim Shachavim Vinoflim Apreim Vamrim Baruch Shem Kavod Olam Vlad. You didn't say Amen in the Beit Hamikdash. There was no Amen. Amen is only outside of the Beit Hamikdash. In the Beit Hamikdash, why? Because when we say a bracha, how do we say a bracha? We say Hashem. We don't pronounce the Yud Kei Vav Kei properly. Right? We say Baruch Atah Adonai. So we say God as, and we use the word master to replace the name of God, which we don't even say. But in the Beit HaMikdash, including in the Birkat Kohanim, the Beit HaMikdash, they said the Shem HaMefurash. They said God's name. So what happens when you heard the Shem HaMefurash, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, when God's name is called out, Havugodu Lelokeinu, I have to somehow respond. There needs to be a proper response. And what was the response? Koru Mishtachvim Uvnoflim Alpneim, you bow down and fall on, you say, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto L'Olam Vayed. So again, Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Godol Heinu. What's the Havu Godol? What is your response? So over here, Rashi is Mikanam Rishonim Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Achar Bracha Shabbat Mikdash. So I just kind of wonder, is Rashi then, you know, he's very, it's a Yom Kippur theme. This is, yes, this is when it becomes part of our consciousness is on Yom Kippur. So I just find that an interesting comment. Again, there's lots of things one could have said about this Baruch Shem or about Kishem Hashem Ekra. So it's interesting that Rashi took it that way. The Rashbam, on the other hand, again, Kishem Hashem Ekra, he moves it over and he says, let's read, Kasher Saper Lachem Gvrot Shasal Lachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vatavot Shagamal Lachem Vagam Shu Tzadik B'ma Shasal Lachem Gam Atem Havu Godol Okeinu Hoyu Modim Al HaEmet. Which means, what does Havu Godol Okeinu mean? According to Rashbam, you need to accept that God has treated you justly, that God is true, and everything that has been done to you. Again, this is talking about at least the 40 years in the desert, and that God is true. The Baal HaTurim, which doesn't have a number, you can call it 4.B. Kishem Hashem Ekra, and you just should know, I looked through this thing 6 times before I printed it, and all the numbers were there at some point. Kishem Hashem Ekra, Hatsur Tamim, Lomar Shemivorchem Baruch Dayan Ha'emet, which means what did he just now do? He put those two verses together. If that's not clear, if you look at Pasuk Bet, Kishem Hashem Ekra, Havu Godol Heinu, Hatzor Tamim Pa'alo. And therefore, you need to make a bracha, you need to say something, you need to call out God's name. When you call out God's name, he's just connecting with the next verse. What's the next verse? The next verse is that everything God does is just. So when do you say a bracha? Yes, God is just. So he says that saying, Baruch Dayana Emet. So therefore, he put them together just in a little bit of a starker way than I had said it before. But as I said, that's really what emerges when one is reading this. That's really what we're feeling. And I think... Of course. I mean, that's exactly what the issue is over here. So therefore, what the Baal HaTurim is saying is, I said, what we had felt, and he just really articulates it to make sure that no one is going to miss it. So, okay. Yes.
Is it possible?
Yes. When you say it's possible, I'm going to agree to anything. Go ahead.
It's acknowledging, but it's also
Hoda. Such an interesting word, because it means both that I accept and also
right.
Very good. So now let us go back and try to figure out this word tsur, because as I said, that's a motif which is running through this entire section over here. So now let's try to figure this out. In source number 5, we have one of the more famous tsurs. By the way, the other ones, as I point out, you say, oh, yeah, I should remember that. But here is a famous one. Havchi hatsur agamayim chalamish lamaynimayim. So why should you remember that? Because you say that, right? You can figure out how many times a year you actually say this. When you give me your answer, I'll know if you say it in Yom Ha'atzmaut, in Yom Yerushalayim or not. Then... on the other hand, if you live in Chutz Laaretz, you'll have extra ones for second days, where the only extra one would be second day Shavuos, right? The other days, and Simchas Torah, right? They have a couple extra days over there. Good. Pesach. Okay. Havchi hatsur agamayim chalamish lamaynimayim. Havchi hatsur agamayim. So that's really interesting, because it speaks about somehow the rock gets turned into water, chalamish, which is a flint rock, lamaynimayim. It becomes this place of this moving stream. But it does put together the tsur and the chalamish. Why was I interested in that? Because that was actually one of the relationships that we had seen back over here. Yes? Well, we did that too quickly? In Pasuk Yud Gimel, where it says, Yarkivehu albamati, aretz v'yochal tnvot sadai, v'inakehu dvash misela, v'shemen michalamish tsur. So again, to put the chalamish together with the tzur, you also had a sela over here, which you realize that, again, in this poetic usage, you have a sela, you have a chalamish, and you have a tzur, which helps us a little bit, but confounds us even more. Because then, okay, so now I know that I had even more choices, and why was those choices being used? Now, one of the thoughts that should come up is if Moshe's doing a tzedek hadin, so let's admit something that we knew before I started, just maybe I've confused you sufficiently to this point that you didn't think about it, and that is that Moshe's entire life vacillates between water and rocks. It's this motif of Moshe's entire life. So the fact that Moshe over here is going to refer to God as Tzur, as the rock, is just so interesting. I mean, again, I don't know how many examples you're going to need for me to bring off the top of our heads over here. You could talk about rocks. Most important rock is actually going to be making the Luchot. The most significant is for Moshe's life is that the Luchot is that Moshe hitting the rock. On the other hand, hitting the rock, the water comes out of the rock. Moshe's life is in danger from the very beginning. Moshe gets thrown into the water. Moshe, on the other hand, the people are about, the water is there, and then Moshe splits it, and then it turns into dry land. So this constant vacillation going between the, and I skipped, and I hope you know that I skipped, that this issue of water is a constant issue from the very beginning of Moshe's life, and this idea of a rock is something which is also goes throughout Moshe's life. So therefore, the water and the rock, getting the water from the rock. And of course, now we realize that unsuccessfully or successfully getting water from the rock, one of the things which is really surprising is that in Hoshana Rabbah, if you actually made the mistake and paid attention to all the words which are being said on Hoshana Rabbah when they're praying for water, praying for rain, one of the things that they is mentioned is that act where Moshe successfully gets the water out of the rock. It's successful in the sense that the people needed water, the people got water. The flock needed water, the flock got water. The only problem is the doctor died. Moshe's the physician, Moshe's the doctor, Moshe's the one who's doing the operation. So the patient survives, it's just the doctor doesn't. So could be that you don't care so much about that, but, or you don't like the way that I just now put it, but but it's absolutely correct the way that I put it, because that's what happens over here, is the people needed water, the people got water, so it's a success. The only problem is that Moshe gets a death sentence. So therefore, that analogy which I gave is correct, so it's even more interesting if Moshe is doing Tzedek HaDin and Moshe is mentioning God as Tzur and Moshe's death is going to take place because of getting water from the rock of Chiyat Tzur Agamayim, again, is really interesting. So just to make sure that we know that in the episode of Moshe's death, which is in source number 7, which describes the Vayavo bnei Yisrael kol edam midbar tzin b'chodesh rishon v'yashav am b'kadesh v'tamach miriam and so on and v'lo yamayim la'eda v'yarav am Moshe and so on. One word which is missing from all of this is Tzur. Tzur is not here. So just in case you thought that it was going to be here after I led you to think in that direction, it is not here. What is here instead is the Sela, and we saw now along the way the Sela was another one of the possibilities, but it is Sela in this case, and Dibartim El Hasela, Leinem Adatan Meimav, Votzilah Mayim in Hasela, Vikal Moshe Varanachal El Pnei Hasela, Vayara Moshe, right, Shemuna Hamarim Hamin Hasela Hazeh, Vayara Moshe Theodov Yachet Hasela, Bamateo Pamayim, and now you realize very, very deliberately and multiple times the word Sela is over here. So if you did not remember Tzur in this context, very good, because it never says Tzur here. It constantly refers to it as getting water from the rock. And water from the rock is clearly the Sela over here in this case. Stop, let me do this. So let me continue. Don't worry. In source number 8, which is again, obviously, it's a chapter in Tehillim. If you review this chapter, Tehillim Perek Ayin Chet, Maskil La'asaf Azin Ami Torati Hatu Az Nechem Limrufi, V'lo Yuka Avotam Dor Sorer Umore, right? I don't know if you ever noticed that. If you are Tehillim Zuggers, then maybe. But if not, it refers to that generation that left Egypt as being a generation of like a Ben Sorer Umore. You were a generation of Sorer Umore. How's that for an interesting turn of phrase? Dor lo hichin libo v'lo nemana et el rucho. And we'll skip a little bit. V'inachem ba'anan pasuk yedalid yamam v'kol leila bor esh yivkei atzurim ba'midbar Vayashkito mot rabba. Again, the rocks provided over here, and you drink from the rocks. Yotzino zlim misela v'yoredkin harot mayim. Again, switching from the tzur to the sela. In pasuk yudchet, vayenasu el bilavavam l'shol ochel nafsham. And then you tested God. Again, looking for your food. Can God set a table in the middle of a desert? I hope you like the turns of it. This is not mine. This is, we have to give credit where credit is due over here. Hain hikatsur v'yazovu mayim. Yeah, the tsur was hit and water came out. Nochalim ishtofu hagam lechem yuchal teit. Again, God can do all kinds of things, including the making water come out of the rocks and making food come out, which is, again, I hope you appreciate why I focused on this particular chapter. Continuing in Pasuk Kaf Dalet, God brought man down, and Udagan Shamayim Ulamo, he gave you food coming from heaven. Look at Pasuk Lamed Hey. Vayizkuru ki Elokim tsuram, the El Oyon Goalam. So over here again, it does go back and forth between tsur in terms of the rock which provided the water, vayizkuru ki Elokim tsuram, that God is their rock. So it uses it in both ways. Pasuk Lamed Chet, after all the complaint, v'hurachum yichaper avon v'lo yashchit v'bar l'shiva po v'lo yikor chamato. So at least this is one of the places this comes from. So I guess that will be a little familiar to you. And again, there's a little bit more. Remember what he did in Egypt. Remember all the miracles and how God essentially is God over nature and God is able to control all of these things. Now, even though I spent some time saying, oh, that's Sela and Sela and Sela, but nonetheless over here, I refer to it as getting water from the Tzur. Well, there's a very good reason for that. And that is because when Moshe hit the rock, it was not the first time that he hit the rock, because there was an earlier time. And the earlier time is going to be far more interesting. And that's source number 9, Perek Yud Zayin. Vayitzma shama am lamayim, vayalana ama Moshe, vayum ulamaze litanui mitzrayim, lamito ti vet banai vet miknai bat sama. Vayitzak Moshe l'ashem lemar masel amaze, they want water, od ma'at usukluni, and they're going to stone me. Water and rocks, right? Constantly back and forth in Moshe's life. They need water, they're going to stone me. So that's also, Moshe is saying, I'm going to die from a rock. Well, he's right. He's going to die eventually because of a rock. It's going to be a sela, but I'm saying this is just so interesting as he's speaking. Pasuk hei, vayomer Hashem o Moshe, avor lefnei am v'kachit kam lezene Yisrael, umatcha asher hikita bo ata ya'or, right, where you hit the water, right, and then it turned it into dry land, so now we're going to do a reversal of that water trick. Kach biyotcha v'alachta, hineni omed lefanecha sham, al hatsur b'chorev, v'hikita batsur. Now, the thing that everybody always forgets or never noticed or never saw, and I've said it as recently as this year, is that it's b'chorev. Chorev appears over here. They're not yet at Sinai. They're going to get to Sinai in the next chapter, but over here already, wherever they are, it's not so far, is that the rock that he hits is by Chorev. And that, of course, this presents all kinds of problems. What really is the relation between Chorev and Sinai? And the Rishonim discuss this. Is it exactly the same place as one, a range of mountains, as one a specific mountain? But nonetheless, God tells him, really carefully, Hineni omed lefanecha sham al hatsur b'chorev v'kita batsur v'yotzu imeni mayim v'shata ha'am v'yasken moshenei ziknei Yisrael. So therefore, when it had that turn of phrase that hit the rock, the tsur, and from the tsur flew fresh water, but it's even more interesting because it's not just any rock. It's this tsur which is by chorev, and chorev itself is interesting because chorev, on the one hand, is, you know, this, which means the cherev is a sword. And it's something which Chazal speak about, is that, you know, in a certain sense, Sinai is a double-edged sword. I mean, Torah is life, and Torah gives us life, and Torah is the Eitz HaChayim. On the other hand, Sinai, the place that it comes, is Chorev, and a Cherev also brings death to the world. And as Moshe over here is bringing people water and giving people life, in Mayim Ela Torah, and again, Torah is Eitz HaChayim, but over here, Moshe is giving them water, but it's also setting up the stage for how one day Moshe is going to make the mistake, because God's going to give very similar instructions, and he's going to take the mate again and hit it. And at that time, God says, I never told you to hit it. I mean, I didn't say to do that. And it's really interesting that Moshe's Tziduk Hadin is using the word tzur, and the tzur is found over here, which is actually, you know, a good lawyer would go after God on this. Would go and say, hold it a second, this was a total setup. And Moshe, and then we can begin to question Moshe's use of the word tzur in this case. Is, you know, was this a complete tzidek hadin, or was there something else? Or maybe it's even a stronger tzidek hadin in this case, and therefore completely accepting. And what is Chorev, what is Sinai, if not following rules precisely? So I'm just saying is that all of this, without me, you know, putting a bow on it and making it, you know, really, really pretty, which you want me to do it, I'm not going to do. The association is the one which is really interesting, that over here the word tzur was used multiple times, and for God as well, and the rock. And over here we see the tzur going back to Chorev. Now, if that weren't enough, something else happened at Sinai that we also need to consider. And that is that, of course, the people, they back up a little bit, and they don't want to participate, and they think they're going to die. Yes, right? A lot of people, it happens. They go to yeshiva. If I stay one more moment in yeshiva, I'm going to die. I can't. Yeah, can you imagine? My brother came in from yeshiva and said to my mother, oh, this is great. It's almost as good as yeshiva's food. So, okay, there's the door. Enjoy. Who knows what Rabbi Akiva said to his wife to be able to go away for another 12 years. So it didn't work out all that well, which means as we continue at Chorev Sinai, it doesn't work out all that well. In the end, Moshe goes up the mountain, again, the mountain, Chorev, he goes up, Sinai, he goes up. And while he's up there, the people kind of have this wild party down below. There's a rave, it's great, everything is good, except they eat and they drink and they party, which, of course, somehow creates Rosh Yom Kippur, where you can't eat and you can't drink and you can't party and so on, which all creates the tikkun for all the things that were done over there by the Chet HaEgel. Moshe comes down, of course. Now Moshe now breaks the rocks. We're going back to the rock again. He breaks the luluchot. And after all of this, and God saying, you know, destroy the people. Okay, won't destroy the people. I'm not going to be with the people. Moshe, please be with the people. And we're not going through every single step of the stage there, but we're going to pick it up. I just wanted to fill you in what happened in case you don't remember. In source number 10, where we go back into the story, V'yomer Shem Moshe, gam et hadavar hazeh shedibarta eseh, ki matzata chen ve'inai ve'idacha b'shem. By the way, notice b'shem, which means this idea that God is going to, well, fine, you can go into Israel, everything's good, Jews are going to exist, and you go into Israel, but I'm not going to be in your midst. And Moshe just ran and says, hold, if you're not in our midst, like, what's the point of all this? I mean, of course, by the way, intimacy. We need God together with Am Yisrael. And Moshe prays again, and God says, okay, but notice, ve'edacha b'shem. So this is actually where we started today, right? This idea of a kishem Hashem, right? V'yomar harini na et kvodecha. And now Moshe, talking about intimacy, so now Moshe says to God, proverbially, okay, so take off the veil. Let me see. Of course, by the way, very soon Moshe is going to be wearing a veil as well, that people are not going to be able to see Moshe, but Moshe nonetheless thinks that he can say to God, you know, show me more. Because this is a time of intimacy. This is a time that that Moshe represents Am Yisrael and God. They're fixing things and they're getting closer together. And Moshe senses it's a time where he could ask for more. Vayomer ani avir kol tuvi al panecha. I'm going to pass all of my good in front of you. By the way, panecha, notice the word panecha. Vikarati bishem Hashem lefanecha. And now notice again, the bishem Hashem is over here. Did you all recognize that the reason we're here, that you know it's the right place? You may not know why yet, but you know it's the right place? Yes? Can you at least just a little? Give me a little. V'chanoti et asher achon, v'richamti et asher arachem. Which is really interesting because this Shem Hashem, which is Yudke Vavke, it's going to somehow morph into this chanina, which is forgiveness, richamti asher arachem, and compassion, which means seeing the Shem Hashem is somehow going to turn into this type of forgiveness. V'yom lo tochal lerot et panai. But you can't see my face. Ki lo yireh lo yirani adam v'chai, v'yomer Hashem hinei makom iti v'nitzavta al hatzur. And notice that the tzur just made its way back. So now, if you weren't sure before if all of this is connected, I hope now you recognize. Because I just now pointed out, if I'm not mistaken, the only two times that tzur was mentioned prior to Hazinu. I mean, that was it. It was the tzur that was hit in order to get the water, and over here it's the tzur where Moshe goes by and there is this moment of intimacy and some type of revelation. You can't see my face, but something I'm going to pass by. And again, the tzur. So if we worked with our well-known theory of conservation of tzurs, so now we realize that the tzur which provides water and the tzur which again, it provides water even though the people are not acting really nice at this point. Is God with us and not with us? God, why did he kick us out? God wants to kill me. And nonetheless, water and life flows and Torah is going to flow, and this is coming from Chorev and this is coming from Sinai, but Sinai creates rules, and when there's rules, if you break the rules, there's going to be consequences of breaking the rules. And then they broke the rules and they broke the, you know, don't have any other gods, and they broke creating some kind of making an egel. And then afterwards, which is where we are, where Moshe is trying to fix everything, and we're back at the tzur. So as I say, I'll say it again, you now realize that there's something going on. I have no idea. I can't even bother to try and translate. Something's going to happen, and then something's going to happen, but you can't see what's going to happen, but this is what you can see. But again, I just know one thing. What's that? That there's some kind of revelation, and there's a tzur there, right there in the middle of it. Which means you can't see the front, you can only see the back. Where does this lead us to? This leads us, because you're going to get fooled, that's source number 10. Source number 11 is the next pasuk. And the next pasuk is one which I think you'll recognize a little bit more. By the way, now we're back to another type of a rock. Now, take rock, right? I'm going to pass by the rock. Now, take the rocks, and then you're going to make new luchot. Right? How many times have you read this? And so on. And you're going to go up, and so on. Which you also now are reading a little differently, I hope. I should have bolded that for you. Now the Shem Hashem is over here. And by the way, part of what you have to think about is, hold it. All the instructions that he was given in source number 10 is that's what's taking place over here in source number 11. Which means that's exactly, meaning, unless you just imagined, okay, do all this with the rock and then, no. This is somehow connected, especially Vayikra b'Shem Hashem. Vayavor Hashem al panav, Vayikra. What were we told before? V'karati b'Shem Hashem lefanecha, v'chaniti et asher achon, v'chamti asher arachem. I'm going to pass by, teach you about the Shem Hashem, and then it's going to create forgiveness. What does it say here? By the way, how many times are we saying this now? These days and leading into Yom Kippur? Vayavor Hashem al panav. But isn't it interesting now to see the context? So now God passes by Moshe's face, which now just go back again to that previous verse. But nonetheless, what was the conclusion over here? That there's going to be a revelation, and this revelation is going to bring back this incredible amount of compassion and forgiveness and stay in sentence and whatever it is. And Moshe does all this. And by the way, what's Moshe's response? I just want to read a little bit more. He says all this. Which needs to be understood, because nonetheless there will be punishment. And Moshe then goes and Moshe bows down, which is the same thing which how one responds to the Shem Hashem, right? Just like we saw in the Mikdash, you respond to Shem Hashem, how? By bowing down. And if it doesn't say it over here, I would love to look and find some commentary who's going to say, and then Moshe says, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchut Elohim Ve'ed. Why would I say that? Because someone has to say that. Yes, you understand that. And if no one said it, then write it on the side of the Yechomish anyway and say, nearly, it seems to me that this is what Moshe should have said in that space. Because even if it's not literally correct, it's religiously correct. It means that there is this response. The response is the bowing down. It's the Shem Hashem, this overwhelming. But how all of this fits with, you can see, Panai Lo Yiro and the Tzur, and I hope that we're not completely confused. But what you do know is that we have around 12 minutes left, and we're on the last page. In source number 12, the Gemara has a debate. The Gemara in Brachot, it has a debate. When regarding this conversation that we saw, that God, Moshe saying, listen, I already got you in a good mood, let me make my requests. If all of Moshe's requests were granted, or they were not necessarily granted. So the Gemara understands that Moshe made three requests, and then there's a machloket, there's an argument, if all three were granted at that moment, or only two out of three were granted. So let's read a little bit in the Gemara, and then hopefully this will make a little sense. What's the first opinion we found coming from Yochanan, the name of Yossi? He asked for three. Bikesh Tishrei Shechina Yisrael. He asked that God's Shechina will be on the Jewish people. Because what did God say right before then? I'm not going to. Right? I'm leaving you. The Shechina is not going to be you. It'll burn you up. It'll swallow you up. It's too much for you. You guys can't have God in your midst. V'natando Shenemar lo b'lachtecha imanu. Bikesh lo tishrei Shechina alvdei kochavim. And Moshe also asked that the Shechina not be among other nations, which, by the way, also maybe deals to a certain extent with the replacement theology. Can the Jews be rejected and God then choose another people? And Moshe asks at that moment, you know, if, essentially then, reading between the lines, if the Jews sinned once, they're going to do it again. And if they did it once, then it has consequences, and maybe the Jews could be rejected and know that God will not dwell in a different people. And he asked him to show the paths of God. We don't know what that means yet. Please reveal to me your path. So, what's the third thing, God, the path? How do you do judgment? Why do sometimes we see that there's such a thing as a tzaddik, a righteous person, and good things happen to them? And why do sometimes we see a tzaddik and bad things happen to them? By the way, in Israeli terminology, a tzaddik v'ralo is a tzula, which generally is a term that you can use for a guy who's like a kind of a loser, a good guy, an innocent guy, but kind of a loser. So, not an uncommon conversation by my table will be trying to make shiduchim for the various friends that are single, and they say, "Oh, this guy's a tzula. That, you know, that would be good." Meaning that there would be a good shidduch for her, because essentially, like, he's too innocent and he'll just deal with all of her problems anyway. So, tzaddik v'ralo. Okay. So, if any of you say, "That's me. That's who I am. I'm a tzaddik v'ralo," don't say it to your spouse. Continue. So this question, you know, what tzaddik v'ralo, tzaddik v'tolo, v'yesh rasha v'ralo, omelo Moshe, tzaddik v'tovlo, tzaddik ben tzaddik, tzaddik v'ralo, tzaddik ben rasha, rasha v'tovlo, rasha ben tzaddik, rasha v'ralo, rasha ben rasha. Now, it's a very nice answer, but I think a lot of you were going to say, well, it doesn't always work as far as we can tell in the real world, that everything now perfectly makes sense and we know exactly, you know, what's going on. Amar tzaddik v'tovlo tzaddik ben tzaddik tovlo tzaddik ben rasha. Ini, is that really the case? Which means the Gemara doesn't really go for that. V'ha'am v'harktiv, the verse that we just now saw. Poked avot avot al banim. Uktiv ubanim lo yamutu al avot. V'ramini kore hadadi. The two verses then contradict one another. U'mashaninan, you can answer. Lo kasha. Hokisha olsen ma'asei avotehem biyadehem. Hokisha ein olsen ma'asei deyem. Which is not just tzaddik and tzaddik or rasha. It's actually when one follows the same behavior pattern as the previous generations. Ela hafik amar le. Tzaddik v'tovlo tzaddik gomor. Tzaddik v'ralo tzaddik she'ena gomor. Rasha v'tovlo rasha she'ena gomor. Rasha v'ralo Rasha Gamer, which is, of course, all of this is an unprovable hypothesis, but essentially it's saying if you see somebody really righteous, bad things happen. So they're getting all of their punishment in this world, and the next world they get the reward, which, as I said, you accept this, then fine, but it's an unprovable hypothesis. And therefore you have a wicked person whose good things happen. They did a couple of good things, and therefore they're getting the reward now, but they have bad, which is waiting for them afterwards. Upligad Rabbi Meir, and all of this argues with Rabbi Meir, which is where we wanted to get to. There are Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir said, "Shtayim natnu lo v'achat lo natnu lo." The two, he got a response, but the third one God did not give him. Shenemar v'chanoti et asher achon, afal pi shehagun v'richamti asher rachem, afal pi sheinu agun. I do things in ways which won't seem fair to you, because you won't always understand why I do what I do. V'yom lo tuchal lerot et panai, and you can't see my face. Tana mishmei d'Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. When I wanted to reveal myself, you weren't interested. Now that you want to, I don't want to. That's really the issue is, was Moshe supposed to cover his face or not? When Moshe covered his face at the burning bush, B'schar ki yarei zachar v'yiru me geshet elav. B'schar me habit zachar utmunat Hashem yabit. We're going to have to come back to this tmunat Hashem yabit, because we just got to another point which is really important in all of this. Because what is tmunat Hashem? What is a tmuna? A picture. Where do we start with? With a tzayar, with our painter. So now we've gotten to our pimp. Now we've gotten to our picture finally. So now you know one thing is that we're close to the end. Vasiroti et kapai v'iti achorai. You'll be when I then move my hand, you'll be able to see my back. Amar Rav Chana bar Bizma, Amar Rav Shimon Chasida, Melamed she'ara Kadosh Baruch Hu Lemoshe Kesher shel Tefillin. That what is it that he let him see? He let him see the Kesher from Tefillin. It led him to see the knot in the back of the Tefillin. The word kesher, of course, is interesting. A kesher is a knot, but a knot is something which is a kesher shel kayama, generally, right? It's something which is strong. And a kesher from tefillin should somehow be the connection to God and man. Although, look at source 13. The Gemara says, "V'ru kolam aretz kishem Hashem nikra alecha." Kishem Hashem Nikra Elecha, which is very close to where we started. Not exactly, by the way. Kishem Hashem Nikra Elecha v'yiru mimecha. Tanya v'lozagadol omer elu tefillin shebarosh. Which means Kishem Hashem, that God's name is on you. That's the tefillin shebarosh. And it continues, Vasirot et kapai v'rit et acharai panai l'yiru. Amar v'chan v'viz. And then comes up to the same teaching that he saw the kesher shel tefillin. In source 14, hopefully you recognize this. We're back to the Sereta Dibrot. One of the ones that they broke in order to get to the Cheta Egel. Lo taseh lecha pesel v'chol tmuna asher v'shamayim. Lo tishtachav elohim v'lo tehem, ki anokh yashem lechecha el kana, poked avon avot al banim al shlishim v'al revim l'sonai. So that was also part of all of this. On the other hand, when Aaron and Miriam, or Miriam and Aaron speak about Moshe, and God defends Moshe, what does God say in source 15? Pe el pe adaber bo umar'e v'lo b'chidat tmunat Hashem yabit. Pe el pe adaber bo umar'e v'lo b'chidat tmunat Hashem yabit. So Moshe does somehow see this tmuna. By the way, by you can't make a tmuna when it comes to the idols, but Moshe does see something, but what is it that he sees? But he sees the back, he doesn't see the front, and we are somewhat confounded. So give me one more step, and that is what you already know in source number 16, because that makes it into the liturgy, Kesher Tfilin Her'ala Anav, which, by the way, notice, where does it say that Moshe was Anav Mikol Adam? Right over here in this verse, right over here in this section, about is where we're told that Moshe was Anav. So there's brother and sister talking about it, but Moshe is Anav Mikol Adam. But what does God then say? No, he's able to see the Tmunat Hashem Mabit. What is a Kesher Tfilin Her'ala Anav? Tmunat Hashem L'Neged Enav. So therefore, what it did is that it took God's description of Moshe as described to Miriam and Aaron, and it goes back and connects it to when Moshe asks God for this revelation and says, you can see my back, which is somehow this tmuna, but what is it that he sees? He sees the kesher shel tefillin. So let's now try to understand how all of this connects to the Tziduk HaDin and the Tzur and what Moshe is saying and what Moshe is doing. So I think this is mine, because I said it so many years ago, and every now and then I look to see if somebody else said it, and I can't find anybody who said it. Not even people who stole it from me. I can't even find that. So what's the difference between seeing the back and the kesher shel tefillin and seeing the front? When you see the front, which you would say, based on everything here, is much more of a revelation, and now we're back to this question, did Moshe get that third wish? Did he not get the third wish? Does he see, does he not see? Well, he can't see the front, but he can see the back. Now, part of this is, and on a simple level, as I can say, is that you can't understand things before they happen. But after they happen, then maybe somehow you'll be able to interpret it. So that's the difference between seeing things before and seeing things after. But I do want to point out a different, just taking the metaphor and going one step further. If you were to imagine now that I was wearing tefillin shel barosh, right? I'm wearing tefillin. So you have the tefillin and it comes back. You have the kesher in the back. And then you have the two ritzuot coming down on the front. Now, one is obviously on the right side, and one is on the left side. In Jewish theology, the right and the left represent different things. The right represents midat ha-rachamim, compassion, forgiveness. Then the left hand represents midat ha-din, which is God's judgment, and so on. And therefore, the Gemara tells us that even when we are forced sometimes to be strict, we're only strict with our left hand and not with our right hand. You always need more of a power to bring somebody back in compared to the power that you push somebody away. There always needs to be more power to bring somebody close. The embrace always needs to be stronger and with more passion and with more feeling than that hand that pushed away in whatever sense that is. And again, that's what the Gemara learns out and actually criticizes those who didn't behave that way, because the Gemara considers that to be catastrophic. So again, you see the front, you see these two different sides, and that's also where we started today, the Midat Hadin and the Midat Racham, Hashem and Elohim, and there are these two sides, and there is this tension, and I can sit in, from the outside and say, well, God is somewhat schizophrenic, or because sometimes there's this soul, this compassion, we could do the worst thing in the world and God forgives us, and sometimes we could see it tzaddik and ralo, and where in the world did that come from, and we can't understand God's behavior whatsoever. And then God says, and the way the Gemara explains it, no, but he's shown the keshir shel tefillin. But the keshir of tefillin shows you that those two sides that looked from the front being so deliberately separate, and one is right and one is left, and one is compassion and one is din, when you see the back, you see that there's a kesher, and they both are coming from the same place. And they're coming from the same place. That means that when God uses the compassion and God uses the judgment, this is a loving parent who says, okay, this is what I need to use at this time, and this is what I need to use at this particular time. And then when we look at the whole body of work, what we have to realize is that God is the painter, and God is the tzur, and God is painting a masterpiece. Even though we don't always understand what it is that we're seeing, and to a certain sense, that's really what the last source is. It's also Gemara in Brachot a little bit further. We'll go towards the end of it. It's talking about, again, how when God creates, Baruch Hinafshi et Hashem v'chol korvai et Shem Kacho, that all of me can bless God. Amar Leibor, Shelo k'midat HaKadosh Baruch Hu midat basar adam. Midat basar adam, tsar tsura agabe yakotel. A person can paint a painting on a wall, and it never gets animated and it doesn't come back, because it does not come to life. There is no painter like God. My insur lilokenu in sayar kilokenu. There is no painter that God, which means that part of the tziduk hadin is to realize that God paints masterpieces. Sometimes when it comes to us, when it comes to man, sometimes, you know, we look at it and we don't see the masterpiece. Sometimes we look and we can see imperfection and we think that God did not do a very good job, and that's where the keshir tefillin comes in. Moshe sees the picture. Right, Tmunat Hashem Mabit. Moshe sees the picture. And if Moshe sees the picture, then Moshe understands who the painter is. And when Moshe understands who the painter is, then what term does Moshe use in this context to describe God? He uses the word Tzur. God painted the perfect picture. He has this understanding. He understands that the Midat Adin and the Midat Racham, and that's why he uses them both in the beginning of his speech, and he calls out B'Shem Hashem. Just in case any of us thought that maybe Moshe really was praying to God, listen, it's the Tzur, and it wasn't me, and I have no responsibility. Just in case you think that, there's a really interesting response of God to Hazinu. And that is towards the end of source number one, where after Moshe finishes, V'yedibber Hashem el Moshe be'etzem hayom hazeh, which means on that day. So what day is this? This is the day that Moshe is going to die. Alei et har avrim hazeh, har nevo, Asher be'eretz Moav, Asher al-Pnei Yericho, or at Eretz Kanan, Asher notein levnei Yisrael achuzah. Which means, again, you can look, but you're not going to understand everything. You can look, which is very parallel to his looking at the Kesher shel Tefillin. You can look. Umut bahar asher ata alei shama v'sif et amecha, kasher meit aron achicha, bahar ahor v'yosef alamav, al asher ma'altem bi betoch b'nei Yisrael, b'mei meriva kadesh, b'midbar tzin, al asher lo kidash demoti.
So
So again, this this idea that you could, that maybe something is frustrated, whether Moshe gets answered of that third request is not clear. Moshe's use of the word sur over here, which brings together that first episode of the water and then the reconciliation afterwards, and it brings them both. And then just in case you would think that maybe Moshe's pushing God a little bit, hold it, what about maybe the forgiveness? God's response is no, this is as far as it goes. And therefore we get back to this question of tzaddik v'ralo, that even the tzaddik of Moshe, but it gives him an explanation. Even Moshe, there was imperfection, there was something that could have been done better. And but Moshe, apparently, by using the word sur, I don't believe that this is a cynical usage. I don't believe that this is a usage where he's trying to get out of anything. I think that Moshe very much is saying, is understanding that God paints masterpieces, and we accept completely that masterpiece. We accept what God does, but he also understands that there is this absolutely incredible capacity for midat harachamim as well. And it all comes from the same place. And therefore, instead of asking that question, why this and why that, what we need to do is somehow to connect to God, that God is going to reach out with the right hand and embrace us and bring us closer and be able to create this type of reconciliation, which is exactly what the Sirei Yitshuva leading into Yom Kippur, which is the ultimate day in the Jewish calendar of intimacy with God. And therefore what we're praying is that we know that God is not schizophrenic. They're both coming from the same place. And if it's all for the same price, then we take like the door on the right. we want the side on the right. We want the tefillin. We want the ritzah on the right. We want the rachamim, and we want the chanun. We want to be forgiven. We want to fix the relationship with God, and we don't want to hide. We don't want to run away. We don't want to point fingers. We're not going to blame anybody else. We accept our deeds that we did. We're not going to wait for again. We accept. We'll sign on them. We did this. We know we did these things. And this time, in this place, we'll sign on all of it. But we sign on all of it saying, you know, there's absolute fair, but please use the rachamim, and please use the compassion, and please create a situation that everybody is written and sealed in the book of life. Gemara Chatimah Tovah.